Luke chapter 11 tonight. We only have a few minutes left in our service, and so I probably won't get as far as I had planned to get, but that's all right. We'll pick it up where we leave off. You remember last week we started Luke chapter 11, and we looked at the model prayer that Jesus gave some of his disciples as they asked him to pray, and we ended with two assurances from Christ that God the Father answers prayer. He says, you know, when a friend comes to you and with persistence makes a request, whether you want to do it for him or not, just to get rid of him, you'll answer the request. And he says, just think about a loving father who you pray to in a persistent manner and what he will do in answer to your prayers. And then Jesus says, you as fathers know how to give good gifts to your children. Just think what a loving father in heaven will do for his children. And so Jesus said, God's going to answer his prayers. We'll answer prayer. Now, look at verse 14 where we start tonight. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. So you might read that verse and say, well, the devil was dumb. Well, the devil wasn't dumb. The person that the devil was indwelling was dumb, could not speak. He was mute. Whenever Satan gets a hold of a person, something bad always happens. Whenever Satan gets into a person, we read about it in the Bible over and over again, and think about the maniac of Gadara, who was possessed by many devils, lived in the tombs, naked, tore at himself. Here was a man that was possessed, and he could not speak. And so Satan, whenever he gets into a person, does bad things to that person. And so Jesus cast the devil out, threw him out, and the man that could not speak, that was mute, that was dumb, as the Bible says, began to speak. And the Bible says that the people that saw it wondered. It means they marveled at the power of Christ. And if you recall, in the Gospels, every time that God made known his power through the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the way the crowd reacted. They marveled. They were amazed at the power that Jesus Christ had. I would remind you tonight that our God is still an omnipotent God. Our God is still an all-powerful God. Our God is still a God that can do anything and everything that he wants. His hand is not shortened. His arm is not shortened, as the Bible says. But you know what? We've lost our wonder. We've lost our amazement at the power of God. We need to get it back, we as Christians. We need to get it back. When we see God work, when we see God work, we just need to stand in amazement and say, "What a mighty God I have!" When Robin called me and told me about her giving a tract to Chuck and him asking Jesus to be a Savior, when she hung up, I just stopped for a minute and say, "Oh God, what a mighty God you are!" Because I know, Wanda, you guys have been praying for him for a long, long time. And what a mighty God we have. What a mighty God we have. We had a little girl, I didn't tell you about it, a week ago Sunday, came up to me as I was shaking hands in the back and said, I want to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I said, go see Chantel. And she went back and saw Chantel, and Chantel took her down to Romans Road and helped her pray the prayer, and she asked Jesus to be her Savior. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we have. When I stood up here Monday afternoon, and the four that got saved during the closing of the funeral service, three of them were sitting right here on the front row, and one of them was sitting on the second row. When they raised their hands, boy, you talk about a Baptist preacher wanting to be a Pentecostal preacher at a funeral. That was me. I wanted to shout, but I tried to be dignified, and I held it till I got by myself, and then I shouted. What a mighty God we have. His power has not changed. It hasn't lessened one bit. And when we see it displayed, Marilyn, I know you did some shouting Sunday morning. When we see it displayed, We ought to stand in wonder, stand in amazement that we have a God that can still do the impossible. Verse 15, but some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Now, Luke doesn't name them, but we know from other passages of Scripture who these some of them were. They were the Pharisees. They were the ones that followed Christ around, trying to discredit him, trying to destroy his ministry. And so they said, look, he's not casting out this. He didn't cast out this devil with the power of God. He did it with the power of Satan. Beelzebub is a name derived from the god of Baal. In fact, the name Beelzebub is mentioned, or Baalzebub, B-A-A-L, Z-E-B-U-B, instead of the B-E-E-L. Beelzebub is mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 1 as the god of Ekron, an area in Philistine. In fact, that name Beelzebub means god of the flies. There was a lot of flies, especially in the growing season. And they thought that their god was responsible for the growth of the crops. And so the Jews, because of their because they detested false gods, I mean, even the Pharisees detested false gods. They gave this name Beelzebub to Satan himself and said, Jesus, that's the power that Jesus is using. He's using the power of Satan to cast out this demon. And then in verse 16, it says, and others in the crowd, other Pharisees, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. They said, and again, it was a continued testing. You remember when Satan took Jesus into the wilderness to test him? He wanted him to do something something heavenly. He took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, hey, jump down. The angels are supposed to protect you. Now, I would think if I was standing there and I saw Jesus heal a man that couldn't speak and he spoke, I would consider that a sign from heaven. I would consider that, and most of us would. We would consider it a sign from heaven. But the Jews that stood around said, oh, no, we want you to do something more powerful. We want you to do something with more might. And if you're really who you claim to be, you will do that. Of course, Jesus never did a miracle on demand. I mean, he never responded to any testing like that. And look at what it says in verse 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. But Jesus was saying, now look, when I cast out this demon was of Satan. This demon possessed this man because he was following Satan's instructions. When I cast him out, I was working against Satan. I was foiling the plans of Satan that he had for this man that could not speak. How can you say that I did it with the power of Satan? Because if I did it with the power of Satan, then Satan gave me power to work against himself. Satan doesn't do that. And the general principle is a kingdom that's divided or a house is divided will not stand. Even Satan knows that. Satan wouldn't give me power to cast out this demon because it would be like one arm working against the other. Satan knows better than that. In verse 19, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. The word sons means pupils. Some of the students of the Pharisees were also casting out devils. And Jesus said, well, I'm doing the same thing they are. If you're saying that I'm casting out this spirit by Beelzebub, is that what your students, your pupils, your sons, are they casting out the demons by the power of Beelzebub? They're going to be your judge. They're the ones that are going to say, oh no, this is not the power of Satan. This is the power of God. And verse 20 says, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's what Jesus was saying. I didn't cast this demon out by the power of Satan. I cast it out by the power of God. And if I cast it out by the power of God, then the kingdom of God, again, God's sovereignty, God's rule, is come upon you, is here. You better set up and take notice. The kingdom of God is here. And you're denying it. You're trying to tear down everything that I teach. But if the power of God has been revealed, and it has, as I've cast this demon out of this man that could not speak, and now he speaks, well, you better know that the kingdom of God is here. Verse 21, when a strong man armeth, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. Now, Jesus was just teaching a general principle here, but he was going to make the application. Look, if somebody's guarding their house and they're strong enough to keep every one that would attack that house and steal their goods away, then he is stronger than anybody that comes and attacks. But if somebody comes to that house and attacks and overcome the defenses and takes the armor which they were depending on to protect their goods and then the spoils, then you have to know that the attacker is stronger than the one that's defending the house. Jesus says that's true in this case. Satan had this man. Satan held him as a slave. Because Satan held him, he could not speak. One stronger than Satan has come. He was talking about himself. One stronger than Satan has come and has defeated the hold that Satan had on this man. The evil spirit is gone, and now he can speak because one stronger than Satan is here. Now, notice what he says next in verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Jesus said, look, you cannot sit on the fence. You're either with, if you're not with me, Jesus said, Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He gave his disciples a command, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, you can't sit on the fence. If you're not with me doing what I have done and have commanded you to do, if you're not with me, then you are against me. And if you're not gathering fruit into the kingdom of God, if you're not winning folks to Christ, if you're not sharing the gospel, then you're scattering it. You say, now what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means God expects a Christian to tell other people about their Savior. You do that by your life. You do that by passing out tracts. You do that by sharing your testimony. And if you're not helping him gather, then you're scattering. Because there'll be people who say, well, in fact, I had a person that I talked to probably about 3 months ago. We have a common friend, somebody we work with, Jack, I won't mention any names, but they called me on the phone one day and they said, hey, Daryl, I'm not his pastor, so don't call me pastor or brother Daryl. Just said, hey, Daryl, I want to ask you something. And he asked me about this guy. He said, do you think this guy is a Christian? I said, well, I think so. I mean, I've heard his testimony. I think he's asked the Lord to be his Savior. He said, well, how come he's never told me about Christ? I said, I don't know. I can't answer that question. He said, I told you. You remember that? He said, oh, yeah, I remember. And I remember I said no, but I remember you told me. But I said, I can't answer for this other person. I don't know. So if we're not with them, we're against them. If we're not gathering, we're scattering. Now, Jesus goes a little bit further, and we'll finish up with these few verses. Verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, in other words, when an evil spirit is cast out of a man, the evil spirit walketh through dry places. They thought back in that day when a spirit didn't indwell a person, they lived in the wild desert, so a dry place, seeking rest and finding none. an evil spirit that has been cast out of a man and dwells in the wild desert cannot find rest, because the only place an evil spirit can find rest is when he indwells a body. Okay? So he was cast out. He's in the dry place trying to find rest, but he can't find any. So he says, I will return unto my house whence I came out. In other words, I'll return to the body that I indwelt before. Notice he says, my house. Satan's under the mistaken impression that the bodies of people belong to him. They do not belong to him. Okay? When he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Those are perfect tense verbs. It means completely swept and completely decorated. But the implication is it's empty. Okay? Now, Jesus is talking about the Pharisees that have cast out demons. They've cast out demons, but because they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they didn't have anything to put into that empty house. It's a clean house, and it might look good. You know, the Pharisees were all for looking good. They, you know, Jesus said, hey, you made the outside look good, but the inside's a mess. Well, in this case, the inside was all cleaned out. It was decorated. Looked nice, but it was empty. Then goeth he, the evil spirit, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. He goes out and finds some of his friends that are in that dry place, that aren't indwelling a person. And they enter into that empty house and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Jesus said, oh yeah, your sons cast out demons, and they clean up the house. But because they don't know me, they have nothing to put into it. And so the spirit goes and finds some more spirits, and they come back, and they indwell that person again, and he's worse off than he was before. You know why he's worse off than he was before? Because he's tried the empty religion of the Pharisees, and it didn't work. And so when somebody goes to talk to him about the risen Savior and the abundant life that he offers, he says, well, I've tried that. It doesn't work. A religion that is based on works may clean up a life, but it has nothing to fill it with. Nothing. It's empty. What we have in the Lord Jesus Christ not only cleans out the house, but it fills it up with life. Praise God. Glad you were here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.